Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Design Oracles with Amity and
Diane.
Thanks for being here. Today, we're meeting with someone really special, Emily Anderson from Arquitera Showroom in Austin. Can you tell us a little bit about the various tiles that you guys represent when you are dealing with architects and interior designers?
Yeah, our showroom focuses mostly on bespoke, heavily leaning towards American-produced tiles, people like New Ravenna, Pratt & Larson, even, you know, Oceanside to a point. All of them are people that Arquitera has worked with for probably 30 plus years. When Arquitera started, we were producing tile. So we partnered with other American art tile producers, sold each other's stuff for years and years, and just have really tried to be an advocate for those types of artists as we continue to sell their tiles and no longer produce our own.
So you represent a whole bunch of different tiles, and so a lot of people don't necessarily know the difference between them all. I mean, there's porcelain, ceramic, concrete, metal, glass. I guess, do you want to talk about, maybe we can start with porcelain tiles and, like, what makes them porcelain? What are they made of, and what is the best application for those?
Yeah, porcelain are an interesting product. They're a high-fired material that is very resistant to water. They can be glazed, they can be printed. There's a huge range of sizes available in porcelain. They just have the ability, because of their tensile strength, to be in up to a slab size, right? We have a porcelain manufacturer that's bringing in material here into San Marcos, and their porcelains are 6 millimeters thick and 60 by 120 inches. Something that you couldn't do really with almost any other material. Porcelain's great for indoor, outdoor. It's not bothered by cold weather, by swings in temperature. It's never going to change look. It's never going to patina. It will look the same now as when you pull it off when you're tired of it. That's a really interesting product, just because there aren't a lot of them that are that way. And the printing has really come a long way. It used to be that porcelain tiles looked awful. And now with rolling printing and all the things that Italy and Spain have come out with, they are very convincing.
Yeah. And you can have patterns on them, not just like a plain color, or...
Right. So we most often use them either in a solid color where the color goes all the way through the body, or as a printed, which looks like a stone or a wood or anything else someone has decided to print on them.
One of my favorites is always concrete tiles. Amity, I know you love concrete tiles.
I do,
too.
But also, could you tell us the difference between ceramic and porcelain? Because I think that's a question. That just to circle back to ceramic and versus porcelain, because I was doing a little bit of reading about it, and I understand that porcelain is more granular and denser, and then ceramic is thicker grain when you bake it down. I'm making things up as I go along a little bit, so take it from there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Before we get into another material, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're similar starting point, right, where you're using like a material that's fired to a specific temperature and then a finish is applied, whether that's printed or glazed. In ceramics, depending on the type of clay body, there are multiple clay bodies. There are red clay bodies, there are white clay bodies. They all have different, I guess, chemical makeups, for an easy way to say it. A white clay body is going to have talc and other things that are a little bit softer. A red clay body has iron and other basic like materials in it that give it different properties. So a red clay body is going to be fired at a higher temperature. Things like Arto, where it can be used in a wider range of applications. It has more resistance to moisture and to freezing, etc. Versus a white clay body, which is one of the softest. So people like Mediterra, and then moving on to Pratt & Larson, those are fired at a lower temperature. And so they have a little more, I guess the best way is to say, within the body, there's space for water to get in. And once water gets in, it's not a big deal. It's when that water freezes and expands that you would have an issue in like a place where it freezes. So in a pool, if the water gets in and then you freeze, the tiles will break. So in terms of hardness, you go from white body to red body to porcelain. All those materials can be glazed. So you can get a similar finish on them, but the body is different. It's a little tough.
The difference between, sorry to be granular here, but the Arto tiles that can go outside, that's a ceramic tile.
It is a ceramic tile. Those tiles are fired. So in ceramics, there's different temperatures that you reach. So once you reach a specific temperature, you can be outside in a freeze-thaw situation. So Arto tiles, their red body is fired at a high enough temperature that the structure of the clay is not going to allow for moisture to damage it.
I see. Because that's always, selfishly, I just wanted to know that because I do love that material. And Arto, for our listeners, is just a line of tile, a brand of tile that is a beautiful material. And some of the other names, Pratt & Larson is a big name in tile. And then also, what was the other one you mentioned that does the glass tile?
The glass tiles are like Oceanside Glass. They're one of the original cast glass tiles.
I just bring that up so that in case people get confused by we're throwing out some names that maybe people aren't familiar with. So
are you ready to talk about concrete tiles?
Sure.
All right, cool. So I just love the concrete tiles. Now, those have been around, you know, for a really long time, and then they came more popular when in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, would you say?
Yeah, 2000. Probably beginning of the 2000. Emily, was that your experience? My experience is the names in concrete tile or encaustic tile are the different, but they're the same thing, right? We're talking about the same material.
They are. So there's two types of concrete tile. There's a wet cast and a dry cast. The one most people are familiar with is a dry cast. So those are the patterned tiles that you see in Mexico and Spain and all over the world. They've been around forever. They're a very, very basic process. So they take what looks like a big cookie cutter and they put the pigments in the spaces and then they put Portland cement in the back and they're basically set for however long. So there's no heat. They're considered a pretty in terms of materials, like a fairly green product because no heat goes into them. They have very little waste. But that's what we call a dry cast concrete. And those are really fun because you can do almost any pattern and almost any colors. We often do custom color placements on those for your projects. We can take, any colors. We can create custom colors, all kinds of things. Those are a really fun, really fun product. The only thing about those is they are a little bit more porous. It's something to keep in mind with cement tiles. They have a tendency to patina over time, which I like. I like the way that they patina. There are some people who don't love it. In an outdoor or a wet setting, the sun will affect their colors over time. But you can definitely seal them to try to combat that or keep ahead of it.
Yeah, and isn't there a special sealing that you should use?
Yes, we really like Dry Treat. There's a penetrating sealer that we've had really good experience with where it doesn't change the finish and the color of the tile. It just gives it like a great protection against stains. I mean, a sealer is one of those things where you have to remember it's not like a silver bullet, but it will keep it from staining. If you spill something on it, you still have to wipe it up, but it will keep it from staining immediately.
And that's a dry set. You were going to talk too about wet set concrete?
Yeah. So a wet cast concrete is like, Arto has wet cast concrete. A lot of times they're called out as pavers. So they take a silicone mold and they pour concrete mixture with added fiberglass for structure and custom colors into all kinds of shapes and patterns and that sort of thing. It's a neat product. You can get, you know, a look similar to stone, or you can create some really great patterns. We did one for Andre from your office, Amity, where we, you know, took a fabric pattern and were able to use multiple sizes to sort of create the pattern that Andre was looking for out of that fabric texture.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Is there any special installation you have to do with the concrete tiles?
Not necessarily with concrete tiles, other than sealing them before you grout them. That's the main one, because they are still a porous material. Mm-hmm. And we always suggest that if installers have questions in regards to installing any of these products, that they reach out to us, and we always direct them to, you know, the TCNA handbook, which is the Tile Council of North America. But a lot of times any of us have had experience with setting them in a variety of places and a variety of uses, and have some good suggestions on the easiest way to handle them and how best to cut mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. And then stone tiles are pretty fun too. Using actual stone, Amity, where would you use those, do you think? Like outside?
Wet areas. I mean, showers, shower floors, shower walls. Sometimes backsplashes.
The stone?
Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. Isn't that more porous?
I think when I've used them, yeah, but, you know, I don't care about that. Like Emily, I like it to absorb. But yes, they're more absorbent. They're more porous, depending on the stone, I guess, right? I mean, marble is more porous than... Yeah. Other types of stone. Limestone tile is beautiful. You would use that everywhere, anywhere and everywhere, except maybe it can be slippery. Is that right, Emily?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Anything can be slippery. But, you know, you go certain places in the world and they use large marble, polished marble tiles in public places. And that's much more slippery than like a honed limestone or that sort of thing. I think with stone especially, it's very dependent on your expectations. You know, like Amity, you like that they're sort of porous and have a life within their life. Some people mm-hmm. don't want that, and we can go to the porcelain route for those. But if you're looking for that sort of like aging and life within a material, stone is the best way to achieve that. Every piece is going to be different.
The faux stone porcelains have indeed come a long way, but they can be identified for sure as not real stone. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. It just depends on, they're good, but they don't look as real, someone looking at them. But then sometimes a client just has to weigh, right? Like what's more important to them? If it's authentic, and can they live with that porosity and potential staining, or if they just want the general look, and then they can live with a porcelain tile, which is much more.
Much different.
Be more affordable, or is the porcelain tile more affordable than the concrete tile?
Concrete or more or stone?
That's
okay. No, that's
the stone tile.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is I think cost implications of these.
As a general rule, porcelain is the least expensive until you start looking for, you know, like a mosaic. But typical porcelain tiles are probably the least expensive. And then you go to, you know, some of the concrete and then ceramic and then stone typically is on the higher end.
You know, real quick, I don't think it's on the list for questions today, but I remember going in years ago and seeing wood tiles there that could actually be used in wet areas. Is that still something you guys carry and know something about?
Yeah, so we have a manufacturer, Island Stone, who does carry wood tiles. It's mostly like a teak product that inherently has some water resistant, I guess, properties. And then, you know, there's another product, Indo-Teak, which they use the same thing. They pull teak out of, I think it's Indonesia, and cut it into kind of mosaic patterns. And those are great for, you know, a lot of applications. They are on the more expensive side compared to, like, you know, they're not like a wood floor, just typically more affordable than like a wood tile. But we have real wood tiles, and then there are some porcelains that look like wood. We don't do a lot of those, but they do exist in the market.
They exist, but not here at Arcaterra.
Not if we can help it.
So another thing is, when I know, and I mean, I'm part of these discussions just as much as Amity might be or other interior designers. Like, just the other day, we were all standing in the shower together figuring out the bullnose corners and trim pieces and how you finish off tiles, especially some of these that are so handmade and don't necessarily have, you know, a special trim piece. But I feel like that's something we always have to really work through and think about. What are all the different options out there?
Yeah, the options really depend on who you're working with. Every manufacturer has differing capabilities. Pratt & Larson has some of the largest number of choices when it comes to trim options. Anything from like a mini quarter round, which looks essentially like if you had cut the bullnose off of a field tile, to the large baseboards and that sort of thing. It's very much a personal preference. We see more and more people going back to those trims, where for a while everyone wanted Schluter, the nettle edging that finish off tiles. Builders mm-hmm. like those because they're inexpensive and they're easy.
Yeah, they always say, how about a Schluter? And I'm always like, how about not?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
like Schluter, not Amity? Favorite.
I like it for the same reason builders like it. Sometimes it's an easy answer. And and if it works for the space, if it's a mid-century space or something, I think it works. Or it sure is dang functional. I will say that. But we try to choose tile lines that come with trims, like Pratt & Larson, if possible, or Mediterra. I think too is another tile mm-hmm. that they have yeah. trim options.
We do have a company called Lowitz that they cast brass and nickel like liner pieces that give you kind of it's a similar feel to a Schluter, but has a much more custom, like it's got a weight to it, and they're going to patina over time. They're not like a clear coated brass. So if you like that look but don't necessarily want the Schluter profile, we do quite a bit of that as well.
I love that. Good to know.
Yeah, there's also metal tiles too, right?
Yeah, so they're our main source for metal tiles. They do a couple different kinds. Well, you see two different kinds of metal tile, typically. Either a thin piece of metal applied to a porcelain or a stone, which is what Nuravenna uses in their custom mosaics, is like thin, unlacquered brass adhered to stone so that they can cut it in the shapes that they want and use it and keep it to the thickness of the other tiles. Or you have Bronzeworks, Lowitz, who they hand carve shapes and patterns, and then they cast bronze into those shapes and have a couple different finishes. They are not the most cost effective tiles when it comes to the options. Metal tiles in general take quite a bit of work to produce, but they're very interesting.
Where are they usually used? Have you ever used any, Amity?
No, I haven't. But I know what you're talking about the Nuravenna. I've pitched the Nuravenna to folks. I don't know that it's exactly the aesthetic that a lot of our clients go for. We're more of the arto, encaustic, Pratt & Larson road. Whatever you would, I don't know what that means, but I guess they're a little, they can be, no offense to anyone, they can be flashy. And I don't hate flashy always, but you know, it's just a little bit more specific. So we have
very specific.
Yeah. Mm. They're a harder long-term sell for people who aren't already coming to you for that, I would say. But I think they're really cool, and maybe at a bar area, backsplash for a bar. I also do love, mirror tile. And I know I've used mirror tile that I've gotten through you guys before. Is that mm-hmm. something, you know, I was thinking to it'd be important to maybe ask you about what's on trend, but I was kind of hoping that was on trend because I love that so much. I keep trying to sell people on it. But what do you see with the mirror tile, and also what is on trend?
We do quite a bit of antique mirror tile in varying finishes and sizes and that sort of thing. A lot of, like, I guess a honed glass mirror, which has kind of a neat look. It gives you that really smoky, it's shiny, but it's not. Mirrors are a lot of fun. We have a little bit of trouble selling those versus just having, you know, a glass company put up a solid mirror in the back. But
true.
If you're looking
cost
for,
difference.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you have to remember it's basically similar material, but they're cutting it down and cleaning up the edges and packaging it for you. But in terms of what are we seeing a lot of on trend, we're seeing more and more, I guess, dimensional tiles, you know, marbles that have been given textures that are three-dimensional. We're doing a lot of glazed brick from a local company, Dunis. We still are seeing Zellige happen, although, you know, that's changed a lot over the years. People either love it or they don't.
Can you tell us a little bit? I think it's important to stop on Zellige for a minute because it's such a big subject in the world of design. Mm-hmm. And I'll mm-hmm. keep my mouth shut. I have my opinions. But can you talk yeah. about Zellige, what it is for our listeners, and why we're pausing on this one? It's been such a trend.
Sure. Zellige is a handmade ceramic. It's typically made in Morocco or in those areas. If you've never seen a video of them making it, I would encourage you to Google that, or I'll share with you a video image because it's crazy how they make it. But it's people love it. It's very, very rustic in that no two pieces are ever going to look the same. The glaze will never look the same. The edges will never look the same. You can do great things. It can make beautiful mosaics, and you can get lovely range and variation. But it is difficult to install and can be difficult to order just based on the
yeah,
nature of
there's
it.
Some there's some practicalities that come up. That makes me think of that one thing people like about Zellige, or something that is like Zellige, that, you know, like what I even like about Mediterra or some of the other brands, that it can look like a dry stack if it's there's no grout. It doesn't have no grout, but it can look like that because of the way the tile creates a shadow and is deep, and you can sort of fake it out a little bit, right, when you're installing that.
Right. And, you know, when you do a Zellige mosaic, which are like the very intricate patterns that you see a lot of times, you know, they have multiple colors and lots of little bitty pieces. Those are actually created at their factory, and they lay all those pieces out and they pour an epoxy on the back. So they are truly like, you don't grout those except for between the sheets.
That's why.
Which is neat. Okay. But very, very difficult to get to look like the pictures you see online, if that makes sense. Like, they're beautiful pictures online. They're very difficult to get that kind of installation if you're not very comfortable working with the material. Because if your surface is at all, well, you have to, you know, really float your surface, because every sheet, it's made typically outdoors in a not perfect location, so you have sheets that are not exactly the same size, that may not line up exactly right. You have to dry lay everything to make sure that you've fit together the way you want. And it's just, it's a much more onerous product to install. And there are plenty of installers, even here in Austin, where we have wonderful installers, wonderful trades people, that really struggle to lay it in a way that people are used to seeing it in pictures.
Right. It's hard to make it match up to the hype in it. It's an amazing tile. It's an amazing look. I don't mean to badmouth it. It's just there are some things people just need to know.
Yeah. About. The artistry is amazing, but it's very, very difficult.
I want to ask about grout, too, because you mentioned grout. And I think there are different types of grout. I know there are different types of grout. Can you talk us through a little bit about what that is and how they might be used?
Yeah, the main types of grout, you know, we have sanded, unsanded. There's also epoxy grout available, but there are quite a few people who are going towards that epoxy grout because it has some, you know, stain-avoiding properties. We tend to lean on the manufacturers to tell us what kind of grout they want their products installed with. Sanded grout is pretty much the standard. And then in terms of color, that's almost entirely up to the designer. More so we see high recommendations on the types of thin set, which is the material that adheres the tile to your surface. That's really your like starting point. If you do that well, then everything else that follows goes well. For example, glass tiles need to be set with a bright white thin set instead of, you know, the standard gray and that sort of thing. And I think what's important to remember is that grout is not waterproof. So, you know, it allows moisture to move in and out. And it's important to seal your grout. Even if your tiles are porcelain and you think they don't need to be sealed, the way to keep your tile installation looking great and essentially like healthy is to make sure you're sealing even the grout to install.
That's a great point to bring up. And also with the encaustic or the cement tiles, same thing. There's it's important to seal them before you install them.
And then do you seal it after again because you're sealing the grout?
And you seal it before you grout it, and then you seal it after you grout it, and you seal it again. And then the next day you wake up, you seal it again. And
then please, I know everyone loves white encaustic with dark grout, but it is so hard.
It is really hard. Yeah, when someone has that white tile with the black grout, that's a challenge.
So, Emily, now I'm going to ask you personally what you don't have to. I know you're working for your company, you can't say bad things about not your favorite designer. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you that, but your favorite part of your job. Tell us a little bit personally about what you like about what you do. And want to hear about
you. I love that I get to work with some of the best designers in Austin. It's like it's like the difference of if you do interior design, you have to do so many things. You have to work with a client a long time, but I get to work with all the designers and see all the things that they're doing and get so many different styles and so many different materials. And it keeps things very interesting. I get to use all the different materials that we offer. You know, I don't have to just do one or the other.
That's a good point. I haven't thought about that.
They're my number one, of course, because they've been in the business, you know, a long time and are really pushing things forward and doing things that are interesting. And they have some of the best people working for them. And they're a really fun product because you can do just about anything with their ceramics.
Yes. I would say that they really do set the standard. And that I think they're a really good, Pratt & Larson is a really good example of sticking to one thing and doing it extremely well and not following trend outside of a certain, you know, maybe they have different, like you say, they innovate, but so there's no innovation, but it's kind of more organically done and more thoughtfully done, I would say.
Yeah. And they have a huge library of colors and I mean, can do custom colors. And we did the custom pinks and custom yellows, all kinds of colors.
That's fun. So does anyone ever have you come in and want to do like a mosaic and we're having to figure out how to make that happen?
Yes. So depending on what kind of mosaic, New Ravenna can do some amazing patterns. If you have 12 glasses of wine, sit on their website, you can find, you know, your next 27 houses for $87 million. But they can do just about any pattern. If you wanted to send them a picture and say, I want to create this mosaic, they can do that. We have others that can do it behind me. I know only you can see me, but we have the Austin sign done in a glass mosaic from a manufacturer, Trend. They chopped all those glass pieces and created a mosaic for us. And in our showroom, we also have a big peacock glass mosaic that was New Ravenna. They can do all kinds of things and all kinds of materials, from the basic pennies up to, you know, taking an image and creating a piece of art, whether that's to be installed on your wall or hung on your wall or whatever you need to do.
So that's a great lead to have me ask you to tell us a little bit about a little bit more about Arquiterra. Is there anything else you want to share that makes you unique? Because I love you guys. You're my favorite. I will say that out loud. Yeah, always have been. But
we try to be the best Austin resource for the funky and the interesting and the, you know, the inspiration. And we encourage our designers to come in and see new things and try to even just come in and be inspired and, you know, try pushing the envelope or searching for something. And that's something that we really enjoy, you know, finding the new and the different for our clients. And being, you know, you look at, like, compared to the online tile buying, where, yeah, you can get tons and tons of things, but there's no one to talk to or no one to, like, sit down and say, I'm stuck or I'm looking for something like this. And that's really the most enjoyable part of our jobs, I think, is that we really, truly love doing that with designers. All of us here at Arquiterra have, you know, interior design background. And this is sort of like the best of all the worlds for us, that we get to work on so many projects all at once.
Well, I definitely am one of those people who lean heavily on you for inspiration and expertise. So we very much are glad you're there. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.